So the importance of prayer. Tonight we want to look at prayer problems, and I'll just share with you four of them. So, get my impressive title here. Prayer problems. All right. The first one is prayerlessness, not praying. That's a problem. James 4:2, and this is the way you need to read it, the way you need to think of it. Two series of three thoughts. The two series are parallel. So you lust. This is the word meaning have strong desire. You lust and have not. Ye kill. That's the way you guys are, see? He says, what leads to warfare and all this type of thing is people wanting something that they don't have. Then he says it again, and desire to have and cannot obtain, ye fight and war. This is the history of mankind. Now, addressing to the Christians he's writing to, he says, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Get upset with your life, get upset with what you have that you don't have that other people do have, and then shame yourself. Shame on me. I want to take this to God in prayer. What I really need, He can give me. So perhaps the problem, a problem in your life, is not praying, not taking the time, probably not scheduling the time to pray. The second prayer problem is unconfessed sin. Two verses point this out, one negatively, one positively. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. There's an attitude within Roman Catholicism that you go to confession and everything's okay. But he says, no, you have to confess and forsake, actually deal with the sin. Daniel 9:20, we have the positive example. He gives us this testimony. Whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of for the holy mountain of my God, my prayers were answered. The angel came while I was yet speaking. That's the next verse. But you see what he was doing: praying, confessing, and then God honored prayer. The third prayer problem is unresolved relationships. Maybe you hadn't thought about that as a prayer problem. So let me share two relationship problems. One is an unforgiven brother. Matthew 5:23-24. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, you're worshiping, you're coming to the altar, you're there with a gift, you're presenting this before God. Look at me. I'm a worshiper. I'm doing the good things here. And there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. You haven't asked for forgiveness. He has something against you. Leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother. Then come and offer thy gift. You see the emphasis that this act of worship, this act of sacrifice, this act of giving of yourself doesn't mean anything if you haven't made things right. Christianity is pretty practical, isn't it? You can't just run roughshod over people and just be fine with God. That's your imagination. Again, Matthew 6:15, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, the idea against you, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it works both ways, you see. If you know that someone has something against you and you needed to ask forgiveness, you have to go make that right before you continue your worship. Also, if you're holding something against your brother and you have not forgiven them, you say, well, he hasn't come to me. Well, that's not part of this. You see, if there's something wrong between you and a brother, it's your job to do something about it. But he hurt me. Then forgive him. I said something I shouldn't have. Go ask for forgiveness. And I told the story a number of times, my wife and I having an argument on Saturday night. I'm still working on my sermon years ago. And she stormed off upstairs to bed. I stormed off to my study and sat down to be holy. So I'm looking at this and I'm saying, this isn't going to work. So I got up, walked over to the stairway and found her coming down. Now, we didn't actually work it out whether, you know, who was the person who was in the wrong or the right. Both of us just took it either way. And that's the way real Christians ought to be. We meet each other coming. Both of us saying, I'm sorry, we didn't want to leave it like this. Unforgiven brother. Then, and to the point of my illustration, an alienated spouse. You say, now you stop preaching, you've gone to meddling, right? Listen to 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Weaker vessel, think of the china cup rather than the old banged up tin cup, you know. She's something precious. Give honor, the honor of something that's precious and breakable, as being heirs together of the grace of life. I think it's talking about children. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. So read that back into it, you see. When you are on the outs with your wife, your prayers are hindered. God says, that's not the characteristic of love that I'm asking. That's self-centeredness. Unresolved relationships. And then the last one is this. Selfishness, which is really the essence of all sin, you know. So there is the practice of selfishness in your life. Proverbs 21:13, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. God says, I'm not going to listen. I brought to you someone who had a real need. You have the ability to take care of them, to help them, but you just, what, stopped your ears, so you pretended like you didn't hear that. So you will not be here. I will stop my ears against you. So don't practice selfishness, and then don't pray selfishly. There's the prayer of selfishness. James 4:3. You ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss. Define amiss. That you may consume it upon your lusts, upon your pleasures. There are people praying for their daily food. You're asking for something about your pleasures? I was impressed by studying the prayers of the Apostle Paul in his epistles. And while he does ask for the ability to keep preaching and that type of thing, ask for their prayers, for the most part, when he prayed, it was about their spiritual development. That was the burden on his heart. In fact, this picture is the Apostle Paul, bent over praying. No. Looks like it was set up. I don't know how you would take that picture unless it was posed, but prayer problems. All right, prayerlessness, unconfessed sin, unresolved relationships, and selfishness. So let's make sure we're not dealing with those things as we go to prayer.